We are going to be in a variety of scriptures today, so bear with me. But we're going to primarily be in the Proverbs. So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 29. Verses 29 and 22 will be our primary verse of scripture this morning. I got to thinking really hard last week when Seth was teaching, and he used that verse about he who letteth out strife is, you know, the one that letteth out water. And the description, the example he used was very appropriate for that. And there's a lot of real life comparisons there when you sit there and think about it for a little bit. I'm going to try and keep my thoughts together here because I got a lot to say and not much time to say it in. So we're going to go ahead and read in Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to start in verse number 22. And we're just going to read that one verse. It says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Go back to the example that he used last week. It's very difficult to stop in the destruction that's left by strife. Is incalculable. It's not something you think about in the moment, or you don't even realize you're stirring up strife when you're doing it most times. A lot of times it is a reaction or an adverse reaction to something that's happened to you, said to you, done to you, or so on and so forth. And it's a very important thing to remember in our own lives, and I'd like to take the subject of strife and dig into the aspect of it that makes it what it is. And, you know, a lot of people ask yourself the question, what do you do with strife? When you realize that there is strife, what do you do with it? How do you handle it? But more importantly, do you know how to recognize it and then staunch it in your life? First off, let's figure out what strife is. When it says strife in verse 22, an angry man stirreth up strife, what do you, give me some definitions of what strife is.
Chaos.
Very good. Very good. Chaos, contention, conflict, all those C words.
Didn't he say it was striving for
superiority?
Yes.
All these are separate definitions, which makes strife such a broad term in your life. You know, it's all of those. It's conflict, contention, it's conflict, it's striving to be the best, you know, no matter what. And all these apply to strife. But you can trace every one of those definitions back to some root words. And this is another one of those words, just throwing this out there, that if you Google the word strife, you get one definition, but if you look at the dictionary, you get another definition. Let's see here. I wrote it down here so I know the exact definition. The dictionary describes strife as a bitter, sometimes a violent conflict or dissension. Notice those words, bitter and sometimes violent. Now, dissension, does anyone know what a dissension is?
Disagreement.
Bringing someone down.
Both of those are part of it. But it's the type of bringing someone down as the type of disagreement that is, it is a completely partisan disagreement. So dissension, in the very root form of the word, is the side, one side of the argument. It is very specifically one point of view. It is your side, if you will. Dissension is your side of the argument. If you look up the modern definition of the word strife, it means angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. Why are those few words important? That last part of that new definition of it. Because it takes away, now it is true that it is angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. So now strife is taking out, you're taking strife out of completely all situations that are not over fundamental issues. And this is a complete sideline, but this changes the terms now where it's not just a disagreement, but it's only strife if you're arguing over issues that are baseline to your religion. It is now if you're arguing over whether Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're arguing over that, well, then you're causing strife. If you're arguing over the salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection, that is now strife. However, in the church, if you're disagreeing on dress, if you're disagreeing on alcohol, on tobacco, anything like that, anything in the Bible that's laid out, that's clearly and plainly not in line with the Christian life or the principles of God that you're supposed to be walking by, you are now not causing strife because that is merely something we can agree to disagree on. Because if you can disagree civilly, it is not strife. Strife is that when you disagree, like we said here in the previous definition, it is a bitter or sometimes violent conflict. And we will dig into that a little more later. Why do I bring up strife with those issues? Because most times people are very bitter at the people who are, quote, holier than thou in that they hold these standards when you don't. And so now those issues have caused strife because you are going against the word of God, so much so that you justify yourself in that you are fine in that, and that those people are just holier than thou, which is at root bitterness towards the principles of God that they hold. But why do we go to such measures to take those issues out from under the definition of strife? Why do we do that? Any ideas? I'll give you an idea. Strife has been changed so much because let's refer to Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, get this, strife.
Yeah.
Seditions, heresies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And now, listen close. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah. We have gone to great pains to misunderstand strife so that we can have it in our lives to justify ourselves and still be saved. One thing we must understand about strife before I go into any more is to understand that at the root, strife is bitterness, strife is anger, and strife is rebellion against God, which is why those that do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we all know that. Any version that you look up, all the perversions out there still say that one phrase that they're not saved. So instead of that, we have changed the definition of strife to mean just the fundamentals of what we are. Do you love God? No? Well, then you're in strife because you don't love God. That's the base of our religion, You argue over the fundamentals of the faith, if you will, the topic of salvation, the topic of the resurrection, the topic of the foundations of the church. Those are what cause strife in their minds so that they can disagree with everybody, because you're not going to agree with everybody, Even though we're supposed to be one mind, we can still disagree with everybody on fundamental issues that are not classified as fundamental. We have changed that definition in order to justify ourselves. And that's why that's in the Bible. I sincerely believe that. It's listed under those who are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Strife, if you haven't already guessed it, we shy away from it because, like everyone else likes to have, there's a chapter and verse that calls it what it is, and it is sin. Going deeper here, how you handle it shows exactly what you think of sin. God has several verses in the Bible about this, and we're going to talk about a few of them today. So, if that hasn't already turned you off, we're going to go through a few more things today. Strife is sin. Sin is not good. How you handle this sin greatly affects you, your relationships with other people, and most importantly, your church. If you choose to abide this sin in your family, it will tear you apart. How is that different from any other sin? Let's get into it. First, Let's look at the origins of strife, where strife can come from in your life. The Bible has a ton to say about strife. If you type strife into your concordance, your Bible app, your that sword searcher, any one of them, they're going to pull up a innumerable amount of references to the word strife. We're going to read mostly out of Proverbs. I wrote down all the references, so if you are writing notes, I will talk slow and just tell me to repeat if you need to, if need be. In Proverbs 15, verse 16, it reads, "A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appease the strife." Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12, it reads, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28 says, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 19, it reads, "He loveth transgression that loveth strife." Those two go together. That's interesting.
Yep.
"And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." Now, back to the beginning on there when we said seeking to be the best at whatever you do, it says right there, "He that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." Those that wish to show themselves better than anybody seek the destruction of everybody. How often it is that strife accompanies the best weapon to destroy those around you. Are you catching the drift that we've noticed in these verses here about the people who love strife, the types of things that strife is used in? "A wrathful man stirreth it up. Hate stirreth up strife. A froward man soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth chief friends." And again, "He loveth transgression that loveth strife. And he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction." So far we have hate, 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 and selfishness.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you got those first three, but write them down.
Yeah, that's right.
"There is no circumstances where strife comes about and is justified." In fact, the longer strife goes on, the more it grows into crippling, dividing, unjustifiable sin. Because you can justify yourself for as long as you want, but in the end, it will topple and you will be wrong because you've never been right.
That's right. That is right.
Let's lay this out just a little more. Strife is not always a knockdown, drag out, won't talk to each other fight. It's not.
Mm-mm.
We like to view strife as war because we've changed that definition into some sort of holy crusade upon the fundamentals of the faith. Because we've taken that definition, as we said at the beginning, and taken it away from total, abhorrent root cause of sin, we have now chosen to make it something that makes us justified in stirring strife. Because if we can take it and argue the fundamentals of the faith and hurt someone's feelings, break them down because they're wrong, I'm justified. So why have we decided to do that, you wonder? Because we've just grown into a culture that justifies sin. And that's exactly what this is. We don't call it sin, do we? Because when you're defending the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, how can you call that sin? How can you as a preacher call that sin? He's defending the faith incorrectly. Because what you defend is just as important as how you defend it. Strife is anything that causes division. And it's usually recognized with this phrase. We just avoid that subject. Well, let's not go there. How many people say that in a week? There's a lot of people that say that to me in a week. Let's just not go there. Okay. Please use your discretion when I say that there shouldn't be any subject matter that we avoid with each other in church or family. And everyone knows what I mean by that. There shouldn't be an issue or a religious topic, a doctrinal topic, where we say, you know what, let's just not go there. We just don't agree on that matter. The reason we don't agree on that matter is because either I or you am wrong. How do we know? Because the Bible will tell us which one of us is right, or if we're both wrong and we both need to get right. The word strife isn't just for absolutely devastating atomic bomb fights that come out. It's the little petty piddly stuff that we decide just to not bring up. We're just going to stay away from that. I literally know married couples that can't talk about certain subjects because it causes such a ruckus between the two of them. One guy come into work and he goes, yeah, we just stay away from that subject. It was kind of messy last time. So they didn't resolve anything.
That's like sitting on dynamite.
Yes. All the time. You're sitting there with dynamite and a pool of gasoline, you're holding the match.
Yeah.
And they just decide to take away from it because they want to avoid, get this, strife. Let me tell you something about strife, and this is something that's, I keep walking away from that microphone, I'm sorry. Something about strife is that it's not something, listen close, it is not something that is turned off and on. When it comes to it, when you say, well, we just avoid that subject, it doesn't mean that the strife is over with because you decided to avoid that subject. You can't just get off the subject and shut the strife off. What you've done is, because it's unresolved, anytime that you come close to it, you understand that I am right and she is wrong. Or vice versa. Believe me, it goes both ways. And that root of bitterness starts to grow in your heart because she doesn't understand why I'm right. This is not real. I'm just using her as an example. She doesn't understand why I'm right, and she refuses to get through her hard head and her hard heart that I am right and she is wrong. So the strife is still there, because strife, by definition, is a disagreement that results in anger and bitterness and a totally partisan disagreement. And that there is, partisan means two parties or more. Are we supposed to be two parties or more as a married couple? As a church, are we supposed to be two parties or more? Or are we all supposed to be married, church, as Christians, one mind, one heart, one Christ? It should not be that way at all. However, there is that person that loveth strife that will leave that door open for when he needs a little excitement in their life. Man, I'm bored. You know what I want to do? I'll just bring up this subject matter. That'll give me a rounder. You know, you ever notice when people get just, you know, they start poking fun a little bit and say, well, you remember the time, and then that's it. He loveth strife, because I would, man, even if I had something like that in our life, I would dread to bring it up because I hate conflict. People that love a strife, just keep it there in their heart. And at just the right moment, it's like a jack-in-the-box. They just wind it up and bam, there it is. He loveth strife. We call them pot stirrers. We call them troublemakers. And do you ever trust those people? Do you ever, like, give them a task because you know it'll get done? I give people like that at work tasks to keep them busy because I know the longer they sit, the more they'll think of. Mm-hmm. And the longer, you know, they'll just pass something out. Those whisperers, they're the ones that won't tell you, you know, they're never the cause of the problem. But there are several other people's problems that this person's problem, so I'll just go tell this person that that person's their problem. And so they whisper and they stir the proverbial pot.
Can you say all that again? I don't know. I'm
okay.
Just kidding. Okay.
As I'd say, I probably won't remember it verbatim. I'll give it my best shot. Play it back. Let's see how many minutes are on this thing. But it's exactly that way. I say this at work to one guy. He said, get me a songbook because you're preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, too, because every whisperer whispers so quiet they don't even realize they're the problem. They do, but they refuse to admit it. because they don't like drama. They wish all the drama would just go away. Man, I wish this person would quit bugging you and doing this. You know what they said about you the other day? I just wish they'd just stop it. You ever have those people? Are you one of those people? You ought to think about that.
Yep. Amen.
People who hate drama usually stir it the most. Mm-hmm. Let's move on before I offend somebody. Do you thrive on it though? Do you love it? Do you love that feeling of knowing that somebody's mad at somebody and the reason they're mad at them? So you stoke the fires a little bit because you like to watch the show. Mostly called a dramatic observer. How about yourself? Do you like having something, a little something against somebody? So that when they do something a little crossways, you can bring something up. Or something that you've done wrong, so you can bring up something they've done wrong. So that now you're even. You know what even comes from? You know what even, Stephen? You know what the root cause of that saying is? Bitterness and hatred. Remember what all this is? It's hate, hate, hate. Now I forget the fourth one. Selfishness. So, in light of all this, how do you handle strife? Because, like it or not, you may not like strife, Mark. But the guy next to you, they may love strife. Just like those pot stirrers we were talking about. Some people just stand there with a stick looking for a pot to stir. They have stuff they need to be doing, but they'd rather do that first. So that they're in, and it's just like they're in the limelight. Now they're the one not causing any drama. They are. But now they're in the limelight because they're doing great. And so I just like we talked about before, where they like their gate so much they'll destroy other people's gates to make their gate look better. They will cause strife that's not theirs. So how do you handle it? First of all, this is a very good question. The first step is to recognize where strife is. Because if you approach that person and work it out in love, then great. That's how Christians handle things. You don't get mad. You don't get bitter. You don't think of all the bad stuff that could be happening or you wish it would happen to this person first. You just work it out in love. Eliminating sin before it takes root in your life or your church is the way to go. Because strife is sin. But you don't have to get to the point of strife in your disagreement. First of all, you will minimize disagreements by agreeing that the Bible is true and every man a liar. Agree that if you disagree on something, then obviously there's somewhere you can go to find the truth. So if you two can agree that the Bible is the truth and the standard of truth in which this matter will be resolved, then there will be strife because there is no helping you. As Christians, we ought to agree that the Bible is true and the principles thereof have the questions in which all questions of life are answered. It has a solution. But what if you believe that and he doesn't? How do you handle the strife that will most likely ensue? Most people that I disagree with at work don't believe the Bible. And it's on fundamental issues of the principles of God and how they live their life. Mostly, I just avoid those subjects with them because it's just like arguing with a pig. You know, you wrestle around and you get covered in mud and then you realize the pig likes it. And you don't. And now you look just like the pig. That's usually how it goes when you argue with them. But if you start to form your side, quote unquote, I hate that phrase, but if you form your side of the argument, because again, partisan has two sides. So if you jump in there with strife, it will become partisan because you can't have strife without two sides or more. You blow it up until it's you or them, and you start bringing people around to your side. Think about that dam Seth was talking about last week, where they noticed the problem and they could have fixed it, but because of what it would have cost them, they decided not to. Just like when you say, we'll just avoid that subject. What it may cost you now to fix it will be nothing in compared to the cost of the destruction that it will cause. I speak from limited experience when I say that it's the way of sinners to form sides in an argument. Because there is never sides in the church. There is always truth in the church. And those focused on truth won't find matters to argue on. I'm just going to segue a little bit here out of it. But in all the churches I've ever been in my entire life, every church argument that's come up has come up between two worldly people. Mm-hmm. Who then ran around behind the next person beside them and told everybody their side of the story and while the other guy was wrong. Why that guy was wrong. That's what they capitalized on, is that I was right and they are wrong and here's why. Without talking to the other person, but get as many people, because majority rules, get as many people on their side as they can, and never once mention that this has nothing to do with the scriptures and merely their personal opinion of something, somebody, or an event. And we're back to why opinions have no place in the church. You should never preach opinion. You ought to preach the Bible. And that will keep you on the straight and narrow, for sure. The Bible gives you instructions on how to handle this. Something to remember is you claim to do the work and will of God, but you encourage and sustain strife. It's completely opposite itself. You cannot do one and the other. If you read in James, I wrote that one down too, James chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." This is everything opposite strife. Because strife is filled with confusion, malice, evil, no mercy, and partisanship. If there's one thing we can pull from these scriptures, is that there should be no strife with a righteous person. There's a method called giving the other person the benefit of the doubt. So what you heard may not be exactly what they meant. Or what you decided on wasn't exactly, you didn't consult the Bible first. Any decision made without the prayerful consideration of the principles of God is not a decision that should be made on the fly. It helps prepare the mind to settle misunderstandings without letting it get to the point of strife. You can disagree with one another without going to the point of strife. But if you let it foster that angry, bitter, partisanship spirit, you begin to let the devil in. Why do you think we disagree? Just out of curiosity, why do you think we disagree? Number one thing a devil can use to get into a person, a relationship, or a church is a good disagreement. In fact, there's a therapist that I talked to one time. I was not in therapy, mind you. It was simply a therapist that I know. I actually sold him a car. He said, sometimes the best way to resolve things is a good disagreement.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But he was a marriage counselor. Bless his heart. He'd been married for 20 years, so maybe, I don't know if he's sitting in front of a mirror or what. But he would say, sometimes the best way to air things out is a good disagreement. And I said, man, that sounds, if I'm in the middle of a disagreement with my wife, I said, usually I got to stop and think. He goes, no, you don't stop and think. You say whatever you need to say.
Then.
And he said, then there's a path I can take to work that out. He said, the number one thing to say, I don't know how long he let it go on, but he said, the number one thing you can say is, did you really mean that? He said, and it got people to thinking. But I'm sitting there thinking, the damage is already done whether you meant it or not. And later on, because there's going to be more fights if you just let it happen like that, that's going to come back up. That's strife.
Yeah.
But you don't think about it. Just say what you need to say. But you know what? That's the prevailing theme in every aspect of life. Why do you think Facebook's such a big thing? You can say whatever you want to say. You can delete comments. You can delete the whole post. You can edit the post.
But if food letters all these men.
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a pretty good reference about a fool uttering all his mind, and then I had another one where...
Known
by a multitude of words. Say what you need to say, but I tell you, you're a fool, because, for one, you're not thinking about what you're saying. When you let your emotions dictate your speech, that is what James means when it talks about the tongue being an unruly member and needing to be tamed. It's not taming it from just saying words. I can come up here and say, 13-letter words and whatever. But if I don't think about the context, the situation, and the real meaning of everything I say, then that is an untamed tongue. And if I choose to tame my tongue, I can say what needs to be said because it's what actually needs to be said. But your spirit ought to filter your mind and your tongue, and without that discernment, you will stir up strife. But you know what? Some people love to stir up strife. Some people's hearts just rely on strife to keep them going. It's the gas in their fuel tank. It's their breakfast every morning. Some people eat their breakfast and look at Facebook, and I think that's just a strife stirrer. Facebook in general is where people post their feelings. And you know how many times I've gotten on there and you just think, oh, I wonder who they're having problems with. Oof! Guys, that is exactly what it's there for. Are you now meditating on the precepts and principles of God? No. What you're doing is you're now becoming a whisperer. Because when she gets up and sits down with her coffee, hey, I've seen this post on Facebook. I don't know who she's mad at, but wow. I'm now whispering to her about this other and just spreading it around. It's not good. Unpopular opinion. You can have a disagreement without turning it into strife. Shocker. Y'all are silent. But by definition, you can have a disagreement, and unless it turns angry or bitter, it is not strife. The root of all strife is sin because of the way you act on emotions. It says in the Bible, be ye angry and sin not. Work it out the way the Bible says to work it out. Don't let it fester. Let me tell you, you let it fester, you let sin in your life.
Yep.
You let sin in your church. You let sin in your relationships. Don't let it fester. Say this and I'll be done. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But every fool will be meddling. Every fool will be meddling. Also in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Where do you stand here? Do you guys enjoy a little infighting? Something to keep it a little interesting? Some people call it a spice of life. It's not. Do you talk about all your little disagreements with everyone except for the one you're disagreeing with? Just to air it out. Just to try and figure. Just to get somebody else's opinion on the matter. There's a difference between getting some spiritual advice on the situation and trying to get someone on your side to justify you in your disagreements. Do you always have that one subject that you are self-righteously right about and the other person just isn't? This root of selfishness, bitterness, hatred, and anger do not belong in the child of God. It will ultimately tear down the image of the church and dismantle it. Because people watch you. You are the church to everybody. The church you go to, you're it. When you go to work, that's who you are. You are Straight Paths Bible Church. And you are your family. And you are Jesus Christ to those people. and they're looking for you to fail. You want to do something for God as a person, or if, you know, like we're doing right now, we're trying to build a building out there, and people are watching that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go to work one day without hearing about that land over there that y'all got. Did you purchase it yet? Working on it, working on a deed problem. Oh, well, maybe you ought to pray about that. I'm a real smart aleck. Real smart aleck guy at work. But they know that we're pursuing it. They know what we're doing. They know what we're doing. And some people, you know, you ever have a member of the church that's absolutely clueless? I've been there at a church where the town knew more than that member of the church did. Because the town pays more attention to the church than the members do. And they pay attention to the members too. Expect strife to come your way, but don't give in to it. Remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath, which is the kindling and the firewood of strife. Wrath is the beginning, but consider your words and consider where they will lead. Finally, consider, do you stir strife or do you staunch it? Where do you stand in this? As a church trying to do something, we're going to encounter strife. You can't expect to go do something for God and expect the devil not to come back at you with something. But where are you? Are you going to be a tool, or are you going to be a staunch? Are you going to stop it, encourage it, continue it? What are you going to do? Stay in the Word. Stay with Christ. And don't let this, any troubles that come your way, that's fine. Job lost everything and his kids. You know what he said? Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we can't take a little argument. Do not be firewood for strife. Understand it. Keep that sin out of your life and out of your family.